Part C.
Every church-age believer receives a spiritual gift on the basis of God's grace and not on human merit or choice. That's very important you understand that. That you have a gift. The Holy Spirit distributes to you at the moment of salvation. You have a gift. I can't begin to tell you. Now it's just a matter of you to identify, okay, here are the gifts, here are they function. It's just a matter of you determining which one you have. The Spirit didn't give it to you to play games with you. It's not a mystery. It should not be a mystery. And next week I'll tell you how you can identify it. I'll give you some helpful clues to identifying it. But the first thing, you have to really know what the gifts are, how they function. And your gift will always, now listen to me, and get this. It will always function under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, it will function. It's a supernatural. The Holy Spirit will produce the operation of it. It works through His power. He energizes it. He completes it. So when you walk in the Spirit, your gift will function, even if you don't know what it is. In fact, one of the clues to knowing what your gift is to do that and then watch it. Because your gift will edify other people, and other people will tell you that all gifts are designed to edify the body, to help the body grow, to help it reach its potential. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 5, and 6, Paul said, now there are a variety of gifts. Now, this word in the Greek language means to take something apart so that you can see that they're different. You know, Angie Baxter, I remember as a little kid, loved to tinker with things. She could take things apart. Now, that's not such a big deal because all kids can take things apart. But she could put them back together. And that amazed me. As a little bitty kid, she could take an alarm clock apart and put it back together. She could take just about anything apart electronically and put it back together and work. And I don't guess she ever pursued that. I mean, that would have been a natural pursuit of something, I guess. But I was always amazed that as a little bitty kid, she could do that. That she could do that. It was like her brain was wired in such a way that I could take things apart, as Tony Butler knows. I can take things apart and even write them on a piece of paper where they go and still can't get them back, right? So I was especially intrigued. So what this is that the Holy Spirit has the ability. See, He runs the program, the local church. He understands. Isn't it amazing the Holy Spirit operates all the local churches? I mean, that's amazing to me. Because most of the time, I think He's only here. You know, I got exclusive rights to Him or something. But He distributes. And listen, what's amazing to me is the people. Some people will leave and go to other churches and they say, well, Ron, aren't you disappointed? I said, no, because I think positive. I think that their gift is needed someplace else. God's just shifting them around. You know, body parts, I mean, He can move them around. So He just, to me, I think that way. Now, they might have left for a lot of other reasons, but trying to put a good face to it, I just believe that. I do believe, even if they didn't understand doing that, even when they might have huffed and puffed and did it, I still believe that's all part of that. And conversely, when you show up here, I get excited because I know God sent you with your gift. Now, you don't know that probably. You know, you might have come for 1,001 reasons different than that, but I know as a pastor, when God sent you here, He sent you because you have a gift that we need. He wouldn't have sent you here. You have a gift that we need. Everybody in this church needs your gift. And it will work if you'll stay here. It'll work. And we'll be the better for it. And you probably think, well, I just came to get this or get that. The truth of the matter is God sent you that we could all be benefited, that we could all be edified together by the function of our gifts. So the writer says there are different there are variety or there are difference. And this word in the Greek means to be able to separate them so that there was a difference. You got this part and this part and this part and this part and this part. You got them all laid out. The Holy Spirit knows how to put them together. Oh, well, that goes here and that goes there and this goes here and that goes there. Listen, that would be easy if you just had to do one body. But now when you've got one part leaving and you got to replace it, you see, I couldn't begin to know how to do that. Wouldn't that be terrible if I thought I had to do that? But the Holy Spirit, that's His job. When one part leaves, it's His job to get the other part in there, and my job to keep training, 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 teaching, 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 so that they can get to a place where their gift will function under a grace principle. And that's just, it's just amazing to me. I mean, He just swaps parts. He just swaps them around. And I get excited when I get part of the swapping. Most of the time, you know, I think, well, it's all going, nothing's coming. How's that working? But every once in a while, He swaps parts with me, and I go like, oh, I like that. So He says there are different gifts, and then He says there are different gifts. The word for gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:4 is charisma. You see the word charisma? It's in black, charisma. See the M-A on the end of it? That's a Greek suffix. And it means the results of grace, because the first word is grace. C-H-A-R-I-S is the word grace. And M-A means the results of grace. Therefore, every spiritual gift is a result of God's grace. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it, you don't choose it. It's given by the grace of God. That word is where you get charismatic. Charismatic means the work of grace. It means the results of grace. Every spiritual gift, now listen to me, every spiritual gift is charismatic. Not just some, like tongues. Every gift, the gift of helps, is as much charismatic as a gift of tongues. All gifts are charismatic, because that's what this word means, charisma. There are different gifts that are each the results of grace, the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, the same God. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3, it says, "For the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." Spiritual gifts are not for you, they're for others. They're in you to serve others. "But to think so is to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." In other words, it is distributed to us. God measures out and meets the need. It is, gifts are allotted by God. In other words, the idea is to distribute according to a plan. You know, it's like, you know, you have a puzzle. Thank God that they put them on the front of a box. If they didn't, they'd have to put numbers on the back of it. Each piece would have to have a number, or I go like, they're all red. So you lump them, and then you memorize the top of the thing, and then hopefully 2 years later you get near it. Little kids amaze me. My little grandkids, I'll be in there and I'll say, "Don't mess the puzzle. I think I just about got this thing. Don't mess with it. This is my creation." And then they'll stay back. They can't stand that. I should know better than do that, because that's the kiss of death right there. And so they'll snuggle up underneath there, and they'll kind of look around. And that's Swanee. In a heartbeat, they got all those pieces put where they ought to go. How'd they do that? Apparently, it doesn't work with a college degree. Apparently, it doesn't. Apparently, you don't need to know Hebrew or Greek to do that. It amazes me how those little sharp eyes can see, and they just can't. They'll put a few of them together and take credit. Oh, I put Grandpa's puzzle together and I worked 2 years on it. Those little fresh eyes, though, they can see it, can't they? The Lord, in these gifts, the church, if it was left to us to put all this together, who would even know? I mean, who knows what the church needs? Who knows? And here is a gift of giving, and the gift of giving steps up and goes like it's done. Let's push on to something else. That's a gift of giving. There it is. I mean, who does that? That's a God thing, isn't it? It's how that stuff works. It's how it works. For the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, ought to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment as God allotted to each one a measure of faith. Paul tells us in the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians verse 4, that all spiritual gifts are charismatic, or I guess that, yeah, verse 4. And in verse 1, he tells us they all belong to the Holy Spirit. They're pneumatikos. Each spiritual gift is distributed on the basis of the master plan of God. This whole thing, the church operates off a master plan of God. You know, it's been amazing to me to be the pastor here, I guess, what, Jane, 36 years. I've survived because people have been gracious to leave without trouble. I've survived because they just left and went, he's not worth fighting over. But it's been amazing to me watch the church stay consistently solid by God moving people in and moving them out. You would think there would be some people you think, oh, I know in my heart I go like, oh. I give you an example. When Chuck Farmer died, I thought, oh God. Oh God. This guy was bigger than life. Listen. He sent me Keith Bell. And Ernie Knapp. Ernie Knapp. And then he sent me back Quentin. Now it's taken three to make up Mr. Farmer. Sent me three people back that have got that heart and passion that I saw in Mr. Farmer that just kept me evangelistically thinking. These guys are those kind of people. They're there's a quietness about them getting their work done with me. They don't push me. I'm not an easy guy to work that way. They just come in. They go about their business with the Lord and they influence my life towards the things of God. Mr. Farmer was that kind of a person, and there are many people over the life of a church and a pastorate, people that come into your life and the life of the church that you just think, oh wow, and they die or they move on, you think, oh, how could we ever replace that? And I know that's foolishness because I know what I'm teaching. I know that God will do that. And then when he does it, I'm just going like, oh God, isn't that neat? Isn't that neat how you do that? And I'm telling you that that's how this stuff works. And I get excited when I see God go like, okay, time, it's replacement time. And he starts replacing, and he does different things. And the life of the church, and having been able to be in one church for a pretty good while, it's a phenomenal thing to see God, how God does that. How he does that. Each spiritual gift is distributed on the basis of a master plan of God, according to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3, when he says, as God has allotted to each one. This means that the church age believer does not get to pick or choose his spiritual gift, nor can he lose or exchange it. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. I'll show you an interesting word. You know the word metamelomai, used with Judas Iscariot, that he felt remorse or regret in betrayal of Christ? This is that word with an A on the front of it. That's an alpha privative that means without or not. He is not regretful. He is not sorrowful. Isn't that an interesting word? I was amazed because I had never known that word to be used with anything but Judas Iscariot until I discovered that word irrevocable. It does mean that, but it's that word unregrettable that. And it's kind of interesting when you hear that, for the spiritual gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable or are without any regret. Isn't that interesting? That's a divine viewpoint. And that's because God takes so much care in getting spiritual gifts into the church. The Spirit's involved, the Lord's involved, and God's involved. That's why. All three members of the Godhead are involved in your spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, and one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Bulamai. That word distributing is the same word that we had up here in the 12th chapter, verse 4, when he said variety or different. Which is interesting in the Greek. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 12:18. God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Verse 24. God has so composed the body. Verse 28. God appointed in the church. And then he lists gifts. I mean, it's all about God, isn't it? It's his plan. And he does it. God's in charge of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is the program, the functional program of a local church. God designed spiritual gifts to edify the church body and not the one possessing the gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about gifts, for the common good. The common good. Each gift is not, the hand is not there for itself, it's to feed the body, it's to work for the body. 1 Corinthians 14:12. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound. Look, take that zealous, listen to what he says. He says, take that zeal that you have for the knowledge of spiritual gifts, and put it into the function of it. Isn't that interesting? He says, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Get those gifts functional because they edify the church. The zeal you have for the knowledge of the gifts, transfer that over to having that gift function so they can edify the church. Gifts edify the church. It builds the church. That's the word. Koidomia. Listen, this word edify dominates the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It dominates. Listen, the word edify, verses 3 through 5, verse 12, verse 17, verse 26. Spiritual gifts edifying the church dominates the subject in chapter 14. Therefore, the local church is never lacking a spiritual gift. Never lacking. First Corinthians 1:7, the church of Corinth, carnal. Now the church was carnal, but it didn't lack any of the gifts. Didn't lack any of the gifts. This church doesn't lack any of the gifts. Listen, this church He's got them stacked up. Yeah, you know what? Look, let me check. Let me give you a visual example. And this is all over the church. I was looking the other day at the men because I've got to start rotating some of the men in here. They got the gift of teaching. They need to be teaching. Trying to rotate my guys around to give them teaching time so that my congregation knows who they are so that they can get on the web so that other people can know that I got men here that are available for teaching. We got Al Rosenblum, boom, boom, or whatever. I got Al. Got Quentin. These are men who have been with me a long, long time that God has sent back. I've got Ernie. I got Joel. I got Jeff. I miss somebody? These are all ordained pastors, communicators of my church. They're sacked up. We're like on the runway, ready to take off. We got, you know, we're backed up on the highway, on the runway. We've got the same thing everywhere. And the thing is, most of these guys are out doing something. They're out teaching. They're not sitting around waiting. I mean, they're out because their gift demands that they teach. And so, you know, you got Joel out doing this, and you got Jeff out doing that, and you got Al here, and you got Quentin, and you got Ernie down the prison. These guys ain't going to sit on a runway without doing something. I mean, they're going to sit on a runway with the Bible open and teaching all the passengers that are on the plane. They're going to sit there. But rotating them around has been, and then I got Tony. I don't know who else I got in the evangelism field. I got Keith Bell. Keith, you've been ordained. You want me to ordain you? Hey, what? But my point is that there are a lot of gifts here, and we're not. This shouldn't be abnormal. This is a healthy church. A healthy church. It's a sign of a healthy church. A healthy church has many gifts. Some of these gifts, just like the pastor-teacher gifts and evangelist gifts, some of these gifts are here setting, preparing, to be sent. And God's going to send them. That's one of the things I had to adjust to as the pastor of the church, that God was sending me people for training and sending them back out. And I kept going, well, wait, Father, to leave a few, send them. And they went, no. And so... But a healthy church has a lot of gifts, and the gifts function, and edification is going on, and that's a healthy church. That's a healthy church, and that's what Paul's talking about. And he says, no local church that's teaching the Word of God, that's got a structure of teaching and training under a grace principle, should ever lack any spiritual gifts. Shouldn't lack them. And listen, Corinth church had great pastors. They were carnal people because they were fighting. The reason Corinth was and I got quit, but the reason Corinth was carnal is because they were attached to so much cultural goofiness of idolatry. In the South, we have legalism we have to deal with. It's the legalism problem we have to deal with. But Paul had the other problem that he had to deal with. Well, you can read the rest of that, of course, and next week, I'm going to open up the gifts to you. We're going to take a look at all the gifts. And once again, you will absolutely know, we'll show you what division to look into and what gifts you should be looking at. And listen, just because the gift works when you're filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you shouldn't know what the gift is. And just the fact that you can do these things from a spiritual growth level doesn't mean you shouldn't know what your gift is. You should know what your gift is. If it wasn't so, he wouldn't tell you. He'd have just said, everybody's got a gift, don't worry about it. But he goes into great detail to showing you exactly the gift, some out, some in, exactly how the gift works, what it's for, how it edifies. How it edifies. You go, well, okay, I got gifts, how they edify. Well, this gift does this, this gift does this, this gift does this, this gift does that. That's how we know edification is going on. I mean, if you didn't know that, you wouldn't know. The Bible says edification, but what's that mean? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful today for these here. We've got an Asian experienced congregation with many people who know exactly what their gifts are. They function them independent. By that I mean they, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, they do what the Spirit of God tells them to do, and they're under that mandate. And we're thankful for that. And still, Father, it's exciting to see new people come in. They've never heard this subject matter before, or they've heard it and never really understood it. And so it's wonderful to have new people come in with an appetite to learn and to find out what their gift is, and so they can exercise. We are thankful, Father, to have learned that spiritual gifts is the ministry. Paul made it very clear. The Spirit gives the gifts, the Lord gives the ministry, and God gives the operational energy. That's a phenomenal program. So just pray, Father, we'd understand it. Thank you for these who have come today, Father. Encourage our hearts in ministry. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.